Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today we're talking about the decline of the decline of Christianity.
We are indeed. It's so good to hear your voice in my headphones, Bethany. Thank you for coming back on the podcast to host us once again. And I'm reading now a headline from the New York Times, February 26th, 2025. The headline says, Christianity's decline in U.S. appears to have halted, major study shows. It was you, I think, that sent me this article.
Yeah, I got the New York Times, their morning newsletter thing, and I was the title of that was like a major religious shift, and I was reading it, and I was like, Bob's gonna love this.
So Bethany sent me this, and then I pulled up the Pew Research study, which is what the New York Times is reporting on. So Pew Research Center does a major study of Christianity on an occasional basis. It's called the Religious Landscape Study. And so they basically released the results of this study, and then the New York Times and many other media outlets picked it up and sort of reported it. The same morning that Bethany sent me the article, a sociologist that I follow on social media had also posted some of the graphs from this article and said, hey, this is actually really interesting information about religion in America. So many people are talking about this. And I think the reason I'm interested in talking about it is because we have done so many podcasts in the last 10 years on the rise of the nuns, de-churching, you know, ex-evangelicals and so forth. And so there's some new data here that appears to show that maybe some of those trends are leveling off. In fact, the Pew Research Center on their main page, which we will post in the show notes for this episode, says decline of Christianity in the U.S. has slowed, comma, may have leveled off. The first paragraph says, after many years of steady decline, the share of Americans who identify as Christians shows signs of leveling off. And so this is major news, both for those of us who are Christians and also just if you're interested in what's going on in American culture. So as you know, what has it been, 2 years ago now, the book, The Great Dechurching, came out, written by a couple friends of mine who were basically saying, hey, the last 20 years has been this huge shift in, you know, religious attendance, people are leaving the church. Well, this Pew study shows that actually that whole data set has really changed over just the last couple of years. So let me read you some of the data from the Pew Research study, and then we'll just sort of talk about it together. The Religious Landscape Study is aiming to give authoritative data on the size of U.S. religious groups, because the census, though it asks you, hey, would you identify as a Christian or a Buddhist or Muslim, whatever, it doesn't go much further than that. And so the Pew Research Center tries to drill down into sort of the nitty-gritty of what's actually going on with religious identification and participation in the U.S. And so they do a survey of 35,000 randomly sampled respondents. So that's a pretty big study group. For the last 5 years, between 2019 and 2024, the Christian share of the adult population has been stable. So it showed decline for most of the time they were doing this study. And then over the last 5 years, it's been hovering between 60 and 64%. So here are the data points. Among U.S. adults, 62% would describe themselves as Christians. 40% are Protestant. 19% are Catholic, 3% are other, which for this study includes the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. I guess that this study counts them as Christians, even though theologically I might disagree. So 62% of American adults describe themselves as Christians. 29% are nuns, N-O-N-E. Bethany was joking that every time I say the word nuns, she thinks of a Catholic nun. But in this case, we're talking about those who claim no religious affiliation. 5% would claim to be atheist, 6% agnostic, and then 19% nothing in particular. So 62% Christian, 29% none, 7% belong to religions other than Christianity. 2% of the population is Jewish, 1% each are Muslim, Buddhist, or Hindu, and of course all those figures are rounded. Among Protestant Christians, evangelical Protestants now make up 23% of U.S. adults, down from 26%. Mainline Protestants account for 11% of U.S. adults, which is down from 18%. And members of historically black Protestant churches make up 5% of U.S. adults, down from 7%. So you see those numbers shifting down a little bit, but the main headline here is that all the decline has leveled off. Now, drilling down into some of the particulars a little bit, because this just might be interesting to those of you who sort of like to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the culture around us. What are the largest denominations of Christianity in America? Well, the answer is the largest quote-unquote denomination is non-denominational Protestant. That's 7.1% of U.S. adults. The Baptists are the largest Protestant denomination. So today, 12% of U.S. adults are Baptists, which is down from 17% in 2007. So I guess that's, I lied, non-denominational is not the largest. Baptist is the largest. Non-denominational is the second largest. Members of Pentecostal churches account for 4% of the U.S. adult population. Methodists and Lutherans, 3% each. 2% of U.S. adults identify as Presbyterians. And the Southern Baptist Convention is the nation's largest single Protestant denomination. So remember, Baptist is a group that includes lots of different Baptist subgroups. One of those is the SBC, the Southern Baptist, and that's the largest Protestant denomination. So if you want to ask, what are the two largest groupings of, you know, Christians, it's Catholic and Southern Baptist. Those are the two largest sort of identifiable groups. So then you have United Methodists, 2.7%, Evangelical Lutherans, 1.4%, Assemblies of God, 1.1%, Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, 1.1%, Church of Christ, 1.1%. So what you see there among sort of the denominational features is Baptists are the largest, then non-denominational, then Pentecostal, Methodists and Lutherans are after that, and then it kind of goes pretty small from there. All the other sort of groupings tend to be around 1% or 2% of the adult population.
That seems to jive with how the conversation goes out on the street. Like when you're interacting with somebody and you tell them that you're at a non-denominational church, there's no big surprise about that.
Yep.
You don't have to explain it like you would have 15 years ago.
Yep. True. It also shows, it tracks with, I've done a lot of work on sort of the decline of the mainline. I think we've even talked about that on this podcast, and you continue to see that here where sort of the classic seven mainline Protestant denominations continue to shrink while non-denominational groups continue to rise. Let's talk a little bit about some of the interesting stats that sort of, you can read the sort of summary report, and there's tons and tons of pages of them sort of explaining, hey, here's what all this data shows. You can go down as deep into that as you want, but here's a few interesting stats I pulled out. When asked how their levels of spirituality may have changed over the course of their lifetime, Americans who say they have become more spiritual outnumber those who say they have become less spiritual by a 4-to-1 margin, which is pretty interesting. Because, you know, the rise of the nuns were, a lot of that was people who had been raised in some kind of religious tradition and then had said like, yeah, I'm older now and I've kind of gone away from that. But what they're identifying is that actually people who say they are becoming more spiritual as they grow older outnumbers those who say they're becoming less by 4-to-1. Dusty, 63% of today's youngest adults, the 18-to-24 population, say they feel a deep sense of wonder about the universe at least monthly.
Mm, yeah. I've seen that happen. It seems like, I mean, that stat makes sense for what I see kind of happening with my college age children and their peers.
The youngest adults are still more likely to be religiously unaffiliated. So if you sort of track, you know, who's the most likely group in America to not go to church, it's still your younger populations. It's the 18-to-24-year-olds. The older Americans tend to still be more church going. So that you still do see a shift there that the younger you get, the more unaffiliated you get, or the more you find the nuns in those younger populations. But I do think it's interesting that 63% of them feel a sense of wonder about the universe at least monthly.
I always think about from the Barbie movie where, you know, she's like, Barbie's dancing, and then she just says a thing like, you guys ever think about dying?
Yeah.
And I just imagine all of those 18-to-24-year-olds just going about their lives and then just suddenly like, shoot, I'm gonna die. Yes. I'm gonna die someday. And then I'm like, where do you go with that?
What's fascinating to me about this data, I feel like it helps us live in reality a little bit. There's something about American Christianity where we really like to feel like we're the oppressed minority and like, you know, the culture's going to hell in a handbasket and everybody's becoming a pagan. You know, actually 62% of people in America would still say they're Christians, and 23% of them are evangelical Protestants. Now, even if you feel like, man, even some of those people don't even know what they're talking about, I'm just saying 1/4 of the adults in America would consider themselves to be evangelical Protestants. That is a pretty robust Christian presence in our culture.
When you think of the places in our country where to experience maybe overt kind of, you know, hostility to the faith, they're pretty, I mean, there's a lot of people in those pockets. You think of like big city, but that is like regionally very small parts of our country where for the most part in our country regionally, you're just not going to experience that kind of thing. So I think this stat kind of shows that, you know, that reality, while the media and maybe like the stories that Christians can kind of put forward, you're kind of like, hey, that's a thing, but it's a very regionally specific thing more so than, you know, what's really common across the entire U.S.
Yes. 33% of U.S. adults attend religious services at least once a month. 33%. So 1/3 of your neighbors attend church somewhere once a month, which gets back to one of the things that the authors of The Great Dechurching said is actually a lot of people, if you just invite them to church, they'll go. Like it's not like they want to avoid going to church. They're actually pretty inclined to go to church.
Yeah.
86% of adults believe we have a soul. 83% believe in God. So again, that's just, you know, if you just think about, do people think we have a soul? Yes, the vast majority of people in America think you have a soul. So conversations about the soul, about God, actually ought to be pretty welcome, because most of your neighbors, regardless of how you might feel that they relate to religion, most of them believe in God and believe they have a soul. So as you sort of step back from this data, you know, what sense do you make of this as pastors, Chris and Dusty, and then just as like a church member, Bethany, what does this sort of say to you as you think about the decline of Christianity kind of leveling off and showing signs that maybe we're trending in a more stable direction for just Christian faith in America?
Yeah. Two thoughts come to mind. I think one, it's helpful to take a step back and understand that there are ebbs and flows in a society, that often there are declines, but on the other side of decline, you also see increase. And God often works on the other side of decline. And there's in our nation's history, there's revivals and various things. Mm. So having, not to dismiss and not be concerned and engage when there are periods of decline, but also to recognize that's not, hey, once something goes in decline, that's the only direction it's going to go, to like have a bigger sort of perspective. The other thing is, I was actually thinking about this driving over today. As much as American Christianity can frustrate me, there's a thing about American Christianity that I just love, that we don't take anything sitting down. There's an entrepreneurial energy that kind of is a part of, and church planning is a part of that. But I think it's just American Christians in general, like they care about this stuff. And so there's a fight in us. And so there's almost this sense of, we respond to decline. Hey, let's evangelize. Let's care about this. And it makes me wonder, you know, because you even look at Europe, like Europe and you know, European countries, they declined in ways that we haven't yet. That's and I true. Think there's something about American Christianity that is very beautiful in how we're like, hey, we believe in evangelism, we believe and we want to build the church and we're going to go. And so we respond to decline in ways that I think are kind of cool. So those are the two thoughts that come to mind.
Have you read the Nathan Hatch book, The Democratization of American Christianity?
No.
I haven't either. It's one that Keller used to quote all the time, and I just, the title's fascinating to me. But so I was hoping you had read it so you could tell me. Because from the title, I imagine it's sort of tapping into what you said, which is that most of the European countries had established churches, state churches. And what you had in America is actually sort of like an entrepreneurial Christianity, where it's like, if you're a Methodist, plant some churches. If you're a Baptist, like whoever does the best church planting wins.
Yeah.
And so we do have this, it's interesting how the entrepreneurial spirit in America and the religious spirit are sort of fused together in interesting ways. Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of thoughts. One is the stat of only 1.1% being LCMS. You know, mm-hmm. my kids are at a Lutheran school, Bob, your kids were at this school, you know, years ago. And so I'm on the inside. I'm on the board at that school. I'm the only non-Lutheran who's on the school board there.
Not a way to balance things out.
But the conversation is always about like how we got to get more Lutherans on board, you know, supporting the school. And it's so interesting to me because literally the LCMS is spiraling downward.
Yeah. You're like, hey, there's 25% other Christians out there we could be reaching. Yeah.
And their whole strategy is like, well, we just got to get the Lutheran churches on board. And my comment is always, you don't have enough young people in those churches to care. You know, like it hasn't reached that next generation. But what is interesting to me is that 63% of today's youngest adults say they feel a deep sense of wonder about the universe at least monthly. I see that happening among my college age kids and their peers. So I think because of the phone and the internet and just like information, this is my theory right now, is that college age kids are intrigued with something more transcendent and something that has more gravitas, like God, or there must be something that's bigger and better than just knowledge and technology. And so like when I visit my son or daughter's college ministry, what's fascinating to me is like how many paper Bibles are out and how, like Bob and I, you and I did college ministry 20 some years ago. And it was great if we beat the bushes and got like 80 to 100 kids.
Yeah.
And there's something growing among that generation where now these college ministries are able to capture hundreds and thousands of students. You can't look at that data and go like, oh yeah, that's neat. There's something happening that's really beautiful.
I mean, kind of just going off of what you said, Bob, when you were referencing the great dechurching, like it just kills any kind of like fear of man that I have about inviting non-Christian friends to church. Cause I'm just like, they're like, what do I have to lose? And if they're going to say yes, like, let's just do it. Don't be afraid. So that's when I see like these stats, that's basically the thing that I kind of was thinking in the back of my head of just like, you don't have anything to lose, Bethany. You don't have to be afraid of what people are thinking about you or
That's cool. And with that, if they don't say yes, it seems like, well, they're not going to be offended either.
Yeah.
Right.
Know? They're like, they have enough peers.
Right.
Apparently, according to the data, that people are into that.
Yeah.
The other piece of this, and I think we've mentioned this before, but it's encouraging too, to see where growth is happening is in evangelical spaces. So those churches that believe in the authority and inspiration of Scripture, that preach the gospel, that have a biblical sexual ethic. Like it's still, I mean, I think there's probably ways in which that's not what it used to be, but for the most part. And so often we hear, you know, then this is the problem with the main lines. You hear the argument, you have to adjust to culture. You have to, you know, shift in ways, but it's like, hey, what's actually attracting people? What's actually gaining ground spiritually is biblical Christianity. And so that should be encouraging for us to say, hey, stay true to God's word, preach the gospel, live out the power of the gospel in your life, build a church that's centered on the gospel, like all those good things. That is actually pushing back on decline. That's actually making an impact. And so it, you know, when the temptation to, you know, drift or shift or whatever those things are, I think it's just encouraging to see, hey, the numbers show that that's actually not the route to go.
Here's a couple other stats. A majority of U.S. immigrants are Christian, 58%. So what that means is immigration is probably helping America remain robustly Christian because most of the immigrants coming are Christians, which is really cool. Second, the political ideology, this is really interesting. And Dusty, I'm interested in, you know, as you think about your kids and their friends, how this maps onto what you see. The share of self-described political liberals who identify as Christians has fallen 25 points since 2007. Among self-described political conservative, the Christian share has declined 7 points. So what that shows you is that among those who would identify as politically liberal, they're much more apt to leave the faith or leave the church. There is a little decline among conservatives, but it seems like political conservatism maps a little more onto folks who would identify as Christian than liberalism, which sort of gets back to the podcast we did a few weeks ago, where sort of politics has kind of become a replacement religion for a lot of people, where it's like that kind of is my religion. And I wonder if on the conservative side, you know, what's the Venn diagram between conservative and I'm just a Christian because that's what conservatives are supposed to be, rather than a real relationship with Jesus. That may be the case as well.
Around the election, my daughter brought home one of her roommates, and I was talking with her about the election. It hadn't quite happened yet. It was about to happen in the next couple of weeks. And her response to, I just asked her, you know, I was asking just like, I don't know her super well, right? So we're not trying to talk politics, but I am just trying to feel this out, right? And her answer to me was shocking. She just basically said like, well, do you think that like just our generation just doesn't care anymore? That's kind of what she was basically saying. We're disenchanted with politics in general. And so I'm wondering if that actually causes also a spiritual rise or interest rise. Mm-hmm. And so basically what she was saying, like, and on the college campus, if you're Democrat, like we know it, you know, because they're in your face and they're yelling at you basically. But if you're a conservative, you just aren't going to really like have much of a backbone. It's not that you don't care. It's just that you're probably
less likely to be an activist.
Yeah. You're not going to be an activist. You're going to fight those battles because you don't want to do it that way anyway. So you're just going to become a more committed Christian, I think, was what she was basically trying to say.
So there is, I mean, in America, there's always interesting overlaps between politics and religion. So that's always going to be an interesting thing to track. One additional stat that might be interesting, just as we think about sort of cultural diversity in the church, among Christians, broadly speaking, across the country, 61% are white, 18% are Hispanic, 13% are black. So that's sort of how the demographics map out. The thing that provokes me every time I look at these stats and think about the fact that, you know, only 7% of America belongs to religions other than Christianity. That's a very small number. But I remember a point that James Davison Hunter makes in his book To Change the World, where he talks about the influence of the Jewish community on American culture. And he mentions like how many of the best directors in Hollywood are Jewish, mm-hmm. how many journalists that you read are Jewish, how many actors and singers and creatives are, he's just like, basically the Jewish community is like highly, highly elite in American society and shapes a lot of our culture, but they're only 2% of the population. And James Davison Hunter's point is, if Christians had any ability to engage meaningfully the way the Jewish community has learned how to do in terms of making culture, making art, sort of getting to those elite places of cultural influence, he said, he's basically saying like Protestants could really have a lot of cultural influence. It's not that there's not enough of us. It's that we haven't figured out how to exist in those spaces very well. And of course, Hunter's whole mindset is that culture changes from the top down. And so you have to get yourself to a place of sort of elite leadership in Hollywood, in business, in politics, in order to actually, you know, accomplish change. But I always think of that when I think, man, yeah, only 2% of the population is Jewish, but man, the Jewish community shapes a lot of our cultural production in ways that I find really powerful and beautiful. And it sort of motivates me to say, man, I hope more Protestants begin to step into sort of a long-term vision of cultural influence.
I was thinking about this when you're reading the data points earlier, but the 62% includes the LDS and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was like, hey, could we trade them for the Jewish people? Because I think we are a little bit more,
we have a lot more in common with
it. Yeah. We're a little bit more appreciative and not as distinct theologically.
That's funny. Well, for we always say at the end of this podcast, right? Hey, this is for our church, but it's also for church leaders listening in other contexts. I obviously think this has some, this study has some connection to church planting and cultural renewal, but even to what you said, Bethany, of like, I hope the average person just goes, oh, I'm going to invite my neighbor to church because this study shows they're probably generally warm toward Christianity at some level. You know, they're probably not hostile. That's going to be a very small minority of folks out there. So anytime I read a study like this, it reawakens my desire to see us engage our neighbors as best we can in conversations that provoke maybe questions about the soul, questions about God, questions about meaning, questions about purpose. that just sort of invite those conversations, questions about a deep sense of wonder about the universe. You know, these are things people around you are thinking and pondering.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.